of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Reverend Fathers, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is risen. So today I can honestly say this is one of my favorite Bible stories because, even though I say I shouldn't say that, because we gave our daughter, Rebecca, the saint's name, Fotini, which is the woman at the well. That's one of the beautiful things, is knowing the story of the saints that we see in the scriptures. And I'm sorry to say you're going to have to come back next year, because that's not what I'm preaching on this year. I'm not going to tell you the life of Fotini. Instead, what I'm going to talk about is I'm going to talk about where they were. It's interesting. You know how something gets lost in translation? Well, this place where they were got lost in translation from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And this story is referred to as Sychar, but really it's Shechem. It's a very, very famous story. Any Old Testament scholars out there are going, oh yeah, Shechem, I know that. What it is when Abraham was sent to the land of Cana, when God made his covenant with Abraham, Shechem was the first place that he stopped. He stopped in Shechem. There, God renewed his covenant with him, and he built an altar there. And so when we think of Israel, we think of Jerusalem. But Shechem was actually the original holy place of Israel. It was the initial capital of Israel until Jerusalem was built after the captivity in Egypt. There's so many things. Obviously, as it mentions the story, Jacob's well is there. And then after, when Jacob died in Egypt, he passed the land on to his son, Joseph. When the king Rehoboam was inaugurated, it happened there at Shechem. So there's this long history of God blessing that, of God putting that place aside, of that being a holy land. And so what happened is when you had the Babylonian captivity, only 10 of the tribes were taken. There was the tribes of Israel and the tribes of Judah, and only 10 of the tribes, the 12 together, make up what we think of as Israel. And only 10 of those tribes were taken, and the two that remained were what was to become the Samaritans. It was people who, you know, they said that there was a lot of intermarriage and whatnot. And so, first of all, the Jewish people who came back didn't view them as pure, but also they ended up kind of having some different beliefs than the Jews that went to Egypt and came back. For one thing, they only accepted the first 5 books of the Bible. It's called the Torah, and that's all that they accepted. So the views were a little different. And the other thing is, they didn't recognize Jerusalem as being the holy place that God had set it up to be. They still venerated Shechem. They still looked at Shechem as their holy place. Thus, you see, when she said to Jesus, she said, "You worship God in Jerusalem. We worship here on Mount Horeb," actually. That's a whole other story. I'm not going to get into that. But so anyway, it's interesting because what you have here is two different group of people who are following God. And, you know, Christ says it kind of clearly, salvation is from the Jews. So God speaking right there is basically saying, oh, you guys kind of went astray for a little bit. But then he points out that salvation is for everyone. The fact that that he is even talking to this woman, the fact that he is offering her salvation would have been shocking to those around him. It's like the way that the world thinks of the Good Samaritan, not realizing that Samaritan was an insult. And so here we have Christ coming and offering himself, offering the true living water, offering salvation to this woman, with whom his people, the Jewish people, and her people, the Samaritans, have these strong, strong disagreements. There's a story that's told that's a joke, but it's also tragic, where a group of people come to an elder. They come to a holy man, and they say, "Let's just use the example of how to venerate an icon. you know, Father, we believe you venerate an icon by making three matanyas and then kissing the icon. And the other ones say, no, Father, we believe that the Orthodox way to venerate an icon is you make two matanyas, you venerate the icon, and then you make a third matanya. And they say, so what is the Orthodox way? And he says, crying, this is the Orthodox way. That we argue about stuff like this. And yeah, it's funny, but it's funny and sad and unfortunately true at the same time. And so what we see here is Christ uniting the Jews and the Samaritans as he united the Jews and the rest of the Gentiles, he united us all. And it's so easy to get into arguments about this or that or the other, and trust me, I am first and foremost, I am guilty of focusing on the liturgical exactness and stuff like that and missing Christ. But that's the important thing, is that he is the living water. He is the bread of life. He's all those things that he says I am, the I am statements in the Gospel of John. And he is the one that brings us together. He's the one that unites us because we are united to one another by being united to him. We abide in him as the branches of the vine, and it unites us all together in him. And this is such an important thing, is that we remember to do that, to be united. That it's about our love for him, and it's about our love for one another, and that ultimately, that's our salvation. Our salvation is being united to Christ, and abiding in him, and being united in love to one another, to his glory, that of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.